Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Oklahoma is the first musical written by Rodgers and Hammerstein. The original Broadway production opened on March 31st, 1943, featuring timeless songs such as "Oh, What a Beautiful Morning," "The Surrey with the Fringe on Top," "I Can't Say No," "People Will Say We're in Love," and of course, "Oklahoma." The landmark Pulitzer Prize-winning musical is currently enjoying the Berkshire Theater Group treatment on stage at the Colonial in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Eric Hill directs the American classic, and he joins us now. Eric, good morning. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, Joe. Pleasure to be here.
It's a delight to have you here. I'm thrilled that you could be here. The show closes on the 20th, so this is really kind of like last call, isn't it?
It is. It is. I have to remember what we did. And digging back in my memory 2 weeks ago, at my age, is beginning to become a difficult thing.
Did you think about at what point did you start thinking, oh, you know, Oklahoma would be a good show for our audiences, mm-hmm. would be a good show for that theater, and would be something I would like to direct?
Yeah. Well, this was Kate McGuire's idea, the artistic director, yeah. and my lovely wife, who is usually with me
on these such occasions.
Yes. I'm feeling a bit exposed because it's her job to answer part of that question. But I will tell you that we discussed it simply because this is a landmark American musical. It's one of the greats. And we do try to tackle the greats in our work at the BTG. And this is one of them. This is a signature musical from back in the time when they were forming the idea of the American musical. And this one combined incredible songs with dance and a story that moved those songs along in a powerful dramatic context. And, of course, made history, as you were saying, when it did open in 1943. The longest-running play on Broadway was 3 years. Oklahoma went 5 years and a record 2,212 performances, which shows you its popularity. And, of course, that crosses our mind when we produce, produce it at the BTG. That number sounds pretty good to us.
So when you come into a show like that, mm-hmm. Is it I mean, we all know the answer to this, but we hear it a lot. You look at a menu and say, "Well, maybe I'll go off the breakfast menu because it's hard to screw up an egg." Is it when you go into something that is a classic?
Yeah.
Do you feel is there maybe less pressure of saying, "Oh, okay, it's going to be hard to screw this up," or do you go in saying, "Oh my God, this is a classic of American theater, and I hope we do it justice."
Mm-hmm. Well, in theater, it's possible to screw up anything, so we keep that respect for any work that we deal with. But when you're dealing with a classic, it does present some of those problems. But it's a classic for a reason. It has great songs. And you trust those songs. You learn to find out what's powerful about those tunes, why people walk out of the theater humming them, tapping their toes to them, remember them for the rest of their lives. In many instances, many people come back to see the show because they love those songs. So if you do proper justice to the play that's in front of you, the storyline that is there and the dramatic part of the play, then I think, no, you don't have a problem on your hands. You just simply respect the piece as for what it is, and you can let all the accolades take care of themselves, the comparisons and whatever. You have to deal with the play that's right in front of you, the theater that's in front of you, the incredible talent that you have, and let those things combine to do the work. And classics can come to life on the stage and need to. They can't just sit in the closet.
So with that said, mm-hmm. what have the challenges been in directing this particular production for you?
Well, I like to make most of my productions, I think, on a human scale. That's what I try to do. And Oklahoma can tend to be a very epic, sweeping kind of thing. So I tried to keep it intimate in the Colonial. Colonial's a fairly big theater, but it does have an intimacy to it. And you have to kind of treat the play in an intimate way and bring those characters forward to the audience in a way that they can relate to them, relate to the story. And that's really really what I focus on. And of course, we don't have huge production budgets. A Broadway show like this tends to lean on a very large visual production. We don't have those kind of dollars or that kind of production, but we do try to make it beautiful and interesting in our own way. But I like to work on intimacy, and even at a big musical like that, you can try to accomplish something where the audience really feels connected to the characters on stage.
When you're working with this type of material, how much is it completely out of your mind of what has been done elsewhere?
No, never really. I mean, there's a wonderful production that came out of England with Hugh Jackman recently, and it's an incredible production. They did a video of it. I've watched and studied the video, and it very much influenced what I was doing. It stuck in my mind. Why not?
Good is good.
Good is good, and to borrow is sort of to be second rate. To steal is to be what a real artist does. And so you do that shamelessly.
Yeah, and it is, you've been doing this a long time, so instinct has to play a part where you think of, all right, I'm going to go with this because I think this is what's going to be best for
our
group.
Absolutely. Well, I was just discussing with Kate, you know, we're heading towards our, she's already at 20 years. I'm heading towards 20 years at the Berkshire Theater Group. And Berkshire Theater Festival. So I've directed, you know, that at least 20 and probably more like 25 productions there over the years. And it gives me the opportunity to work with great plays like Oklahoma. But, you know, you begin to know what to expect in terms of what your audience wants and likes after that many years. And to try to bring to them something that is going to hit them square on and they're going to really appreciate. Because other times, it's been my privilege to direct more challenging productions in terms of what the audience might like to, you know, see. We go after all kinds of things at the BTG. It's been my pleasure to direct everything from Beckett to, well, Oklahoma. And so we're always conscious of what our audience is thinking. And in this case, we really love to satisfy a group of people who want to hear great American musicals.
And do you like working? I mean, I would think it's a challenge, but also a fun challenge of working with a large cast.
Oh, absolutely. This is a delightful cast. I'm always amazed at the performers and the American musical group, the people who are in New York City that we cast from. That body of people are so disciplined, so hardworking. They represent the best in American theater. These people are energetic. They rehearse like dogs from early morning to evening, and they're completely dedicated to the work. They love what they're doing, and I love working with them. They're absolutely incredible performers to watch and to work with.
One of the things that you are often credited for, rightfully so, is being able to work with such a large ensemble, mm-hmm. and getting the most out of a group using students, using non-acts, and people that you can get in and out on that stage, herding cats, I guess, in some mm-hmm. ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Talented cats.
Yes, very, very talented. There's a learning component that comes into this, isn't there?
There is. I mean, but the thing that you do learn is that I used to be super, you know, organized in terms of how I was moving people around and all that. And I've really learned over the years, you know, actors are quite intelligent and capable of moving themselves.
Figuring it out.
Yeah.
There's the exit sign.
They're right over there. I should be standing over there, or I should do this. Eric, do you think I should? And the answer is, yeah, go ahead, give that a try. I've really learned to let the performers take the lead in terms of what's going on in a lot of things, and then shape and direct what their impulses are. That's what I've learned. And if you have good performers, then they'll do that. The most important part of the director's job is the casting process. If you cast if you cast well, you've found people who can do the thing you need them to do.
I think any of us who love theater, we have shows that we love, and we have shows that maybe for whatever reason didn't do it for mm-hmm. us, and we think, can you direct a show like that?
As a matter of fact, when you go into the theater, you really should feel like you're opening yourself up to all kinds of possibilities, and failure or difficulty is one of them. Communication in the theater is a very, very difficult thing. You have to reach a group of people, large group of people, in a very quick period of time with a story, with something that's going to grab their attention, hold them, take them to a place perhaps that they've never gone. And that's quite difficult. Audiences are grabbed in the first 5 to 10 minutes, or they're not, or they're not. And that's a directorial challenge, is to grab that audience and to make them hold on. I've sat through some very difficult evenings in the theater where that has not happened, both in my own work and in seeing others. But I think over the years I've tried to learn that the actors can lead the way, the audience connects with them. To a storyline, and if you stick true to that, then you're going to make what you're after.
So I guess what I'm asking is, and I don't know why I'm picking on this poor production, but a show like Once, mm-hmm. and you look at a musical, won the Tony last year for mm-hmm. Best Musical, mm-hmm. and you look at that show, and I love that show, but there are people I've talked to who say I did absolutely nothing for me. Yep. So if that's you, if you as an audience member, mm-hmm. And you don't see it, you don't understand. I mean, you understand. It, but you're like, it didn't work for me for mm-hmm. these reasons.
Yeah.
Are you then able, if Kate says to the director mm-hmm. and her husband, this would be something that we get the rights to, we can do this.
Yeah.
Is there anything saying, maybe I'm not the guy for this?
No. If I look at another production that failed, I go, oh, well, that failed because and blah, 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 blah.
Okay, but it didn't fail. It just didn't work for you.
Yeah, so I would say in those instances, I would say, give me the show, Kate. I'll show you how I think it should be done. And so you always approach a work with that. I try to approach everything I do with a passion. If you don't have a passion as a director, you're going to be in trouble sooner or later. You can't. Yeah. The cast will not follow you. They will not understand the need to do the play. They'll help you if they feel that drive that you've got to get this piece of material out there. So no matter whether I've seen it in my level not work, does not stop me from trying to do any piece of theater that I think is worthy of our attention.
Because you assume that if it's gotten to a certain level, that it's worth that.
Yeah. I mean, I sat in an incredible production of The Goat or Who is Sylvia by Edward Albee on off-Broadway, and it was hammered by the critic, by Ben Brantley. Just ripped apart. Terrible. And then,
that's very unlike him.
Unlike him, yeah. But the weekend it was supposed to close, Margot Jefferson did an incredible article in the New York Times, an incredible review of it. I saw it the day of that review. Half of the audience walked out and the other half stood up. And the play went on to win the Pulitzer Prize and become a huge success. So you never know. That play was doomed for failure, and at the last minute became a Pulitzer Prize winner. And the production was wonderful. And so if you who knows in the theater? It's a dice roll. It really is.
Yeah. And this all goes back to what we were starting to say at the beginning about Oklahoma, mm-hmm. is that it's less of a dice roll when you're working with Oklahoma.
Well, that's absolutely true. You have a built-in marketing tool with just the title of the play, and that comes with an exclamation point, and all those songs immediately rush into people's heads, and of course it markets itself to a good extent. Yeah.
Oklahoma runs at the Colonial in Pittsfield, Massachusetts through July 20th. That's this coming Saturday. To learn more and to see it before it closes, berkshiretheatergroup.org. And then after you've seen this, check out berkshiretheatergroup.org and find out all the other cool things that are going on at the festival. Yeah. Eric, it is always wonderful to see you. Thank you so much
for being with us. My pleasure, Joe. The Roundtable is just an outstanding place, and the coverage of the arts that you provide for our region is unsurpassed.
I appreciate that. Thank you very, very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.